Here, tech talk with our tech expert, Carmi Levy. A very interesting one here to deal with it. I'm glad to talk to Carmi. It's been a little while here. As the Ottawa-Carleton District School Board and the three school boards in the Toronto area have launched legal action seeking $4.5 billion in damages against social media giants, accusing them of disrupting students' fundamental right to education. The four school boards announced Thursday morning that they have commenced legal action against owners of Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok, claiming the fallout of the compulsive use of social media amongst students is costing the boards in excess of $4 billion. That's with a B, $4 billion. The lawsuit calls on social media giants to take in some of the enormous costs to the education system and redesign the apps to keep students safe. I have a number of questions about this to Carmi. Let's bring him in here. Good morning, Carmi. How are you?
I am great. Wonderful to be with you, Kyle.
Yeah, it's great talking to you. I miss when I don't get to talk to you during a weekly basis. So let's get into this here. First of all, your thoughts on this.
Well, I mean, it's rather unheard of for school boards to sue big tech companies for this kind of thing. It's sort of weird. Like, why would a school board go after a technology company? That's unprecedented. We've never seen that anywhere before. But this builds on a trend that we've been seeing building in the U.S. We saw 33 states launch a similar lawsuit against Meta last autumn. We saw New York City do the same thing against a bunch of big social companies, most of these as well, just last month. Thousands of parents in the U.S. have been doing the same thing, either individually or as groups. So there's kind of there's a growing wave of this kind of activity. And even if none of them stick, you know, it's entirely likely that, you know, it may hit a legal roadblock. We'll leave that to legal experts to weigh in on. Mm-hmm. But there's no guarantee that this is going to survive to the end. But what sticks out to me, and I say this both as a parent, as a husband of a teacher, and as a technologist, is that it's good that we're talking about it.
Yeah.
It's good that, you know, someone is finally raising a flag and saying, hey, technology companies, your products are harmful, and it is driving downstream costs to society. So the schools have to have better mental health programming. They've got to pay their IT people more because their systems are under greater strain. Their administration has to do more. They have to deal with disruption in the class because kids don't have the same attention that they used to. They're dealing with more mental health issues. And so there are downstream costs to this, and someone's got to pay them. And how that ultimately works out, don't know. But we've been sticking our head in the sand for so long about this, and everyone's sort of afraid to deal with it. Now we're seeing this rising wave of legal activity, and now the schools are weighing in. So that's got to be a good thing, because as you know, I've always said awareness, discussion, shining a light, that's an important first step, and the schools, the boards have taken that important first step for us. They've pushed this issue right to the front of the news cycle, and that's an absolute positive.
I'm interested to see how they get to the $4 billion number, though. That sounds like an exorbitant amount of money right there. And I know you're not a lawyer. You're one of the smartest people that we talk to on the station, but I know you're not a lawyer. But to prove that that it's costing the board, you know, $4 billion, or the boards together here, $4 billion, that's going to be a tough one to prove. I had an interesting texter too, Kyle, saying, you know, did the taxpayers have a say on this, on how the money is spent launching a lawsuit like this? It's an interesting one as well. So there's a lot of components to it. To me, it's that $4 billion number that sticks out. That is massive.
I would think they've probably gone through their spreadsheets and their budgets, and they've done sort of before and after comparisons, and they've looked at the increases in particular line items. So in-class support, special support for students, instances of violence and costs associated with those, the percentage of the budget they've allocated toward mental health supports and how fast that's gone up, also, you know, compared to both other schools as well as non-educational resources that provide similar services as well. And so I would imagine there's some pretty good structure on the costs. And yeah, some of it's probably a little bit nebulous, maybe they're guessing, but I'm sure there's some really good math that shows that they are incurring costs because of these technologies that they did not incur before these technologies were popularized. And so, you know, again, subject to legal wiggling back and forth, but at least it gets introduced into the court and it does get discussed. And anyone, it's interesting because I've been hearing a lot of chatter about, you know, why are school boards paying for a lawsuit when, you know, they don't have budget for anything else? This is being launched on contingency. In other words, the Toronto based legal firm that is doing this on behalf of those four school boards will not get paid unless there's a settlement. So there's no additional cost. We can discuss, however, do the school boards have the cycles to be distracted by legal action when they're so busy providing other critical educational services as well? So I think that's reasonable. But in terms of outright costs for this lawsuit, no one gets paid unless there is a final settlement.
Okay, I like that. And like you said, I'm sure they have their numbers and all the proof to say why it's $4 billion, I guess, if they're seeking legal action here. It's just that is a big number. So
yeah,
but like you said, with all these damages,
the
maybe.
The fact that it is a big number is a good thing. I think it sends a message.
You're probably
that's
right.
One of the reasons.
Yeah.
I often think, why is it even a headline? Well, because they've deliberately made it a big number so that we pay attention and have that conversation. So I think that's part of the strategy, too.
A little lighter topic here. Wendy's is delivering food by drone for the first time. A lot of us skip the dishes, DoorDash, Uber Eats. A lot of us do that, right? Will we just be ordering food right now and like somebody's just dropping my Baconator, you know, from 200, 300 feet up in the air to me? Talk about this because I think it's very interesting. I think this is going to be the future, whether it's Amazon, fast food places, restaurants. I really do think, you know, eventually we're going to see drones all around just dropping off different things to us. I do think that's the future here. You're the tech expert. What do you think, Carmi?
Oh, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think it's inevitable. It's coming. We've been seeing reports of your pilots and tests and things like that in recent years, and they've sort of been slowly building. It's taken a while to work out the ins and outs of the technology because the real world is a harsh place. And the last thing you want is, you know, a drone dropping on your head while you're walking the dog. So, you know, I think they've done a pretty good job working those things out and ensuring that it can be done safely in alignment with all the other urban infrastructure we have in place. But they're piloting it in a place called Christiansburg, Virginia. And they're used Wing drones from a company called Alphabet, which, of course, also owns Google. So we know that this is a known quantity. They've got pilots running with Walmart in 7 states already. Amazon is doing the same thing in Texas. So it's growing, and it's growing pretty quickly. And I would say it's only a matter of time before we start seeing the same thing here. You'll probably have some instances where, you know, chili falls a little bit too far and makes a giant mess on someone's lawn. But I think that's part of the experience. And I think for delivery companies, and if you're a delivery driver, it's something you need to pay attention to. They're trying to cut their costs. And they probably figure rather than paying someone to drive in a car, they can just put it on a drone if it's light enough and send it that way, you know, on an autonomous vehicle. So I think it's inevitable, whether we like it or not, it's coming. And if you are a gig economy worker, pay attention, because at some point you're probably going to have less opportunity to get in your car and drive somewhere and get paid for it, because that's going to be shifting, at least partially, not completely, because you can't ship everything on a drone, but drones will take over some of the lighter weight stuff.
And it is teaming up, you mentioned Alphabet, DoorDash as well, right? This is through DoorDash?
Yes. So what DoorDash is doing is they're contracting with Alphabet, and they're rolling it out on, you know, with Wendy's in Christiansburg. But the plan is to have more restaurants joining the program in more cities, in more states.
Exactly.
And at some point, you know, Wendy's Canada has not weighed in on when that's coming here, but we know full well that if it starts in the U.S., eventually it will come here as well. They'll prove it there, and then we'll you'll get the benefits. And so DoorDash is investing in this drone technology. We know that Uber Eats is also has also been investing. We know that Uber had been a big driver of autonomous vehicles as well. So, you know, the entire gig economy seems to be pivoting toward autonomous drones for obvious cost and efficiency reasons. And certainly DoorDash and Uber seem to be leading the way.
You know, on a hot summer day, if I'm walking my dog and all of a sudden a frosty falls on my head, I'm not going to hate it. I might be okay with it, to be honest with you. Yeah, I don't know if I want a cheeseburger or a Baconator and, you know, the grease all falling on top of me, but a Frosty, you can sign me up for that. It's very interesting. Listen, as somebody that does those programs a lot, so DoorDash, Skip the Dishes, speaking of all that, we have points for all of that, Uber Eats, we do that a lot, probably a couple times a month. You know, it is kind of frustrating right now where if they don't have enough drivers, you know, they got to drop off a couple different orders before they get to yours. And then sometimes, you know, many times I've had, you know, the pizza that I ordered, it's cold by the time it gets to me because it had to go to 3 different houses before it got to mine. And, you know, sometimes it's in rough shape. That would be my issue with this is if, you know, hopefully it's a soft landing You know, and it's not messing up my burger or whatever I ordered. I'm willing to give it a shot. It worries that if somebody is not paying attention and, you know, being delicate with my food, that if it's just flying around, you know, Windsor in a drone, that something's going to happen to that burger. Honestly, that's what I worry about.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I would probably avoid checking off the deliver by drone box on a windy day. That might be a risky thing. But it certainly can't be worse than the guy who delivered our dinner the other night. And, you know, essentially everything was all over the bottom of the bag.
Yeah.
So, you know, we already have problems with delivery with people. So it can't be any worse with technology. And I think if you complement it, one of the things I like about this is it takes cars off the road.
True.
It means one fewer vehicle driving around my neighborhood. And I think that's a good thing, right? It enhances safety, and I think it gives us a really fun visual. I cannot wait to be walking the dog to see these things flying over. I think it'll add a really neat dimension to living in the city. Of course, you have to have a house with a lawn or a landing pad. So if you live in an apartment or a condo or a building, that may be problematic. There are probably a whole bunch of folks who won't be able to take advantage of this. But again, technology always comes up with solutions for it. And I'm guessing they're probably also working on solutions for condos as well that are safe and efficient and all that too. And I look forward to seeing those as well. Anything that reduces traffic and drives efficiency and gets me my, you know, quicker and warmer, I'm down for that.
Well, and just briefly, I know I gotta let you go here, but just if you're bringing in drones, I would like to see something like, let's say in this area, maybe across the border, where, you know, if it's a drone, maybe I can get, let's say, you know, I want a Coney dog from Lafayette. And, you know, they can go to Lafayette and be able to deliver in the States or in Canada. And also for, you know, somebody in Detroit, you know, that that wants something from us, you know. Let's say they want some Windsor pizza. Well, why can't, you know, DoorDash come over here and get some Antoninos and bring it over to people in Detroit? Like, I think there's a way of doing it. I know you're up in London. Like, you know, I love the Jack Astor's beer bread. Like, why can't I get a drone to go over there to Jack Astor's? And then, you know, they move pretty fast. So maybe in a half an hour, you know, you got Jack Astor's beer bread from up there in London. Like, I feel like brainstorming here, there are some ideas where you can connect communities and you can get food that you can't usually get on these apps. Yeah. Like, I feel like that could be the future somewhere here.
I think as the technology advances, that's certainly a possibility. And I think what's really cool here is that smart businesses are going to find really cool ways to use this technology to give it, deliver services in ways that you can't do today. Mm-hmm. So I think that the door is definitely open to that. I think for now, it's within about a 4-kilometer radius of the restaurant because the drones don't have that much range.
That's right. Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. The technology will get better. Mm-hmm. And at some point, if you can go longer distances, why wouldn't you think of that? And think of the force multiplier. Like, if you are a local restaurant and you're trying to expand your catchment area, you want to grow your market, you want to reach people in new and cool ways, how many times do we want to support local, but we can't because they're not local? This can change the equation for a small business that's trying to be creative. And I think that's amazing. As the technology advances, I think an entirely new generation of entrepreneurs, they're going to see these technologies and go, this can really be a game changer for me. This can be the difference between me, you know, not succeeding and me succeeding beyond my wildest, all because I was able to reach more people in more places more quickly, more cost effectively. And I think we're going to be watching this over the next few years because that's exactly what's going to happen. The smart people are going to figure out how to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and again, we have so many techs have come in now since I opened up the can of worms on that one, talking about, technology will come up with solutions when it comes to apartment buildings. Another one here, you know, Kyle, what if you live in a neighborhood with lots of wires? Another text here, you know, who's flying these? We got liability when it comes to damages or injured people. Yeah. And then these ones, what about animals, Kyle? You know, what about birds swiping your burger from a drone? I didn't even think of that. We got birds going. Another one saying, what if there's a thunderstorm? Your burger's going to get all wet. It's a good point. Yeah, there's a lot of questions. It's a good point.
And all of these things, and you know, these are all issues that technology has to deal with.
Yeah.
And they will get figured out in one way or another. And I think as long as it's good enough, right? I think as long as it sort of balances, it delivers reasonable performance for a reasonable cost with reasonable safety, and it doesn't sort of add risk elsewhere, and it doesn't freak my dog out too much, I think we are all in, you know, pretty cool shape, and I think it's something most of us would welcome.
Yeah, that's it. We'll let Wendy's go through the mistakes here, and, you know, like you said, we'll let Wendy's test it out, and then we'll all go from there. Very interesting. A lot of people talking about it now. It was fun, Carmi. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
All right.